The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors.
And another good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to another edition of the Real Estate Radio Hour, brought to you by Chris Rooney with the Realty House. Andy Prasky is here with RE/MAX Real Estate Properties. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. It certainly feels like spring, doesn't it?
Wow.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
You know, Andy and I started this week that we're doing our little weekly meeting. It's gotten so busy that what we decided that we're going to meet 7:30s on Saturdays prior to the show to kind of get everything
Now, Danny, I sleep through the first half hour of the meeting.
But you did show up 7:45.
It's kind of like the show then.
easy.
No, I couldn't resist. It's just too such an easy mark. But you're like a busy couple that has to plan a date. I'm
the
not suggesting
couple.
It. No, it's
just,
true.
Yeah.
No,
don't you?
True.
I mean, really, with two people working a lot, and you just
need to plan
to
around
aside
your
it.
Clients.
You
I mean, and that's what we do in normal life too.
Right.
I mean, every day that we have to kind of work.
If
when
you
the other
or
people
someone
aren't.
You know needs rehabilitation from an accident.
No, I don't know anybody.
But, I don't either. Nice segue.
But thanks for asking. Uh-huh. This is the Real Estate Show. We got kind of lost the track here for just a moment because there's nothing, as I say, like live radio
nothing.
To keep you on your toes. Anyway, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to do a little investment talk. We've got a couple of our attorneys in today, Mr. Jeff O'Brien, mm-hmm. and Bob Abdo are in today. We've got some real interesting things, kind of using your IRA money to be able to finance, and there's some security questions. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff usually does our legal minute.
Correct. Yep.
And we decided to bring him in studio. So, I mean, if people have real estate
related
attorney
type
questions
legal
today,
questions.
Now's
okay.
today is probably time to get them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest mysteries that's out there. People talk about investment, but I think it's an overused word. It's kind of like custom when they say it's custom houses. You know, it's in our industry with investors, it's an interesting thing because we're all looking at what do we want. We're looking for a return. We want something that's, you know, today's market, I think, reliable and consistent. And housing is there. Granted, now there's a lot of people listening that have lost money too, and that's there's pros and cons to every investment, which Mr. Rooney's raising his hand. And
it's temporary, though.
But yeah, it's a cash on cash kind of a return you have to look at. Is that if you put some money in, what kind of a return are we getting back? And, you know, or what can you.
Well, it's next week. I'm gonna be in Arizona, kind of dual purposes. My kid's going on a baseball trip down there, so our family's going down there. But I'm also gonna go look at some houses for some investors because that market's really changed. And we're trying to get one of the guests that I'm gonna be down there with meet with one of their agents and do mm-hmm. a call in next week to Andy on the radio just to kind of let everyone know because really our market that's what it follows. I mean, it follows the mm-hmm. Californias and the Arizonas and the Floridas.
What's happening in Arizona now? Because I know there were tough times.
It was
there.
Real tough times, but I'll tell you what, things are going
there.
Off the shelf.
Really?
My mom and dad are down there all winter long, and and he keeps track of it. I mean, old real estate guy, and it's really gotten
well, you
busy
need,
down
think
there.
About this,
things
too,
are
new, rising. From a new construction perspective, back in the peak, these guys were putting out 44,000 houses a year for production. And now times are terrible. They're only putting out 15,000 houses a year. Well, that's what we do here in the Twin Cities on a productive season, you know, 15,000 to 17,000 new builds. So their market is still like ours was when ours was booming, and which is really interesting. They're still actually gainfully employed in construction, even though there's the you know, all the foreclosure issues and investor problems that were down there, too. But or fraud, I should say, not investor. But
well, I think, too, when you're talking about, you know, when they were putting up 44,000 houses, mm-hmm. and now if it's only 15,000, I mean, there's obviously a shortage there. We talked about last week or the week before about all the people that are coming into the market, and everyone's assuming that we're going to have a shortage in housing.
Yes.
You know,
there's no doubt about it.
Obviously, shortage means we get
better
prices.
You and I both read the rags all the time, and they're talking about now the amount of houses, or they call them housing, apartments, if you will, that are being proposed right now is pretty high. I mean, there's a lot of new stuff being built. There's a lot of stuff being proposed. And that's all in an attempt to try to, you know, achieve that. Because Minneapolis, I don't know if you knew this, Minneapolis is second place for the hardest place in the country to find a place to rent. The only city that beats us is New York City.
Really?
Our vacancies are that low. There's that much energy, you know. And that just, what does that tell you? That's an opportunity there. And then, like we've talked about in past weeks, you know, with our guys with the rental, keeping a house instead of taking the loss. Maybe that's how you look at that house now. Is that, you know, what is my payment? What can I get a renter in there for? And instead of taking the loss and selling it, can you make that work now? You know, and that's something that I think is a real interesting topic.
You know, too, Andy, when you said that, we have to when you get into apartment financing, a lot of those financings that you have to you got to give them all your financials all the time, and there's typically balloons 5, 10, 15 years down the line, and you basically got to refinance it to make sure. Well, anyways, we're kind of at that point this fall on one of our units, and I went and I said, well, yeah, I think it's. I was talking to another bank, and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking it's probably worth this. And they said, oh, no, it's worth a lot more than that. And so that was good to hear, but that's exactly kind of the way you're talking is what's happening.
Yeah, with apartments, I think, don't they value the buildings on the per-door rent? And it, you know, you can go, this is the Donald Trump. He'd go in and buy the building. He'd up the rents, fix the building up a little bit, and sell it for a profit. And that's based all on cash flow. So that's, you know, again, not to keep reiterating what's coming, but I think that's what we'll talk about a little later in the show today, too.
Yeah, and I think the big boys, the ones that have all the cash and the REITs and the big investment groups that come in, you know, they've identified, hey, here's what's going to happen, here's what's going to work, and they're going in and they start driving up the prices.
Oh, yeah. So. It's some of those big pensions, too. You think about this. Every Friday when you get your paycheck, they're pulling a percentage out of that check, and they have to put that money somewhere. And so there's some of the commercial firms here in the Twin Cities where they're investing, you know, $7 to $10 million a month that has to be invested. They need to achieve a certain amount of a return. And it's, yeah, so there's a constant flow of cash into those, you know, commercial and housing industries. So.
Yeah, and have you seen, I was in an offer situation last week, and we went in, and it was a bank foreclosure on a lake, and it was, mid 500s, and we went in immediately with a $700,000 cash offer, so over 100,000 more, and we got rejected with no counter right away, and I don't know what that thing ended up going for,
yeah.
But I mean, to get rejected right away with weighing 100,000 over was quite interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's happening.
And you know
there.
What I've learned? I know we have to take a break here coming up, is that especially when we visit with the Minnesota home rental people, how easy it is. Granted, there's, you know, you guys have talked about the bad news and the people that are hurting. But on the other end of the spectrum, if somebody does have a place they can rent, or maybe they have some extra cash, they'd like to buy a piece of property to do that. You don't have to do any of the interviewing. You don't have to collect the rent. You can kind of sit back and let it happen.
The big scare on that too, Denny, because I know a lot of people have been that, it's that 2 a.m. phone call too.
Yeah.
It's when you're, it's that 2 a.m. phone call when you're in Arizona.
Yes.
And it's Sunday morning,
of course,
and
never
you have to hire
it.
A guy. Right. Yeah. And that's how it, yeah. That's the bad
part. You can eliminate that for really a low price.
Yeah.
You know, really, that was a surprise. Anyway, we have to take a break. Be right back. If you do have a real estate related question, you can either do it by text or by phone. The phone line is 651-989-9226. 866-989-9226, or send us a text at 81807. 81807. We'll be back after this break here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Radio Hour here on 830 WCCO. We're around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we welcome your real estate related questions. 651-989-9226. 866-989-9226, or you may text us at 81807. Here once again, Chris and Andy.
Thank you, Denny. All right, we brought in the voice of the Legal Minute. Jeff O'Brien is in now with Lohman and Abdo.
Lohman Abdo, that's correct.
Lohman Abdo, yeah. And you brought somebody with you.
Yep, I brought one of the Abdos. I brought Bob Abdo, my senior colleague here, to join us today.
Super, super, super. Well, we've got a real interesting topic to talk about, and it kind of goes into deals kind of with our real estate investors and stuff, but it's the actual lending of the money, the securities part of it, which is real kind of just it's real different. And I just kind of wanted to kind of get it out to the public because, I mean, they can utilize their RRAs to be able to buy stuff, but yet some IRAs are financing them, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, and one thing we want to talk about this morning is, you know, there's a lot of real estate projects going on right now. They're happening. The credit markets, though, are still tight. I mean, lenders are still kind of stung by what happened the last couple of years, and so they're not lending the way they used to. And so developers and folks that are coming up with new real estate projects are trying to find alternative financing options. And one of them is selling equity. You know, you set up an entity and you solicit investors to put in money, and they get an ownership interest in the project. And time and again, we're counseling clients as to the fact that that's the sale of securities, and there's a lot of legal compliance and a lot of things that have to be done in order to make sure that you avoid, you know, some serious civil, criminal, administrative penalties in doing that. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have Bob here today, because Bob does a lot of that kind of compliance work too.
That's super. So how about when you're raising these funds? Obviously, there's different things that I'm sure disclosure is kind of the biggest thing in attorneys. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Bob?
Yeah, thank you. The big issue with securities law is that both the state and the federal laws regulate the sale or offer of securities. And securities, believe it or not, consist of not just the stock that we all know, but it also consists of a bunch of other items such as partnership interests or bonds or promissory notes or convertible notes, subscription agreements. It can be a number of things where the effort of making the money is on the other guy. And so you got to be very concerned about when you sell any of these, whether or not you're selling securities. And for the most part, securities have to be registered unless there's an exemption from registration under both the state and the federal securities laws. In the small deals, the private offering deals, which they're basically called, they're private offering, where you sell to a few people, you can find exemptions under the law, but you have to comply with various provisions of the law and the regulations that are around that, which sometimes, for the most part, it includes not misleading your investor. You cannot misstate a material fact or omit to state a material fact in the documents or orally, and we don't like to see oral offers that are being made or oral sales being made, because that always ends up being in the long run, if things go wrong, who said what? It's a he said, she said kind of thing.
Right.
So we usually try to get the representations and the details of the deal in writing, with the appropriate disclosures, including all the risks. But even if you have an exemption from the registration requirement, it doesn't exempt you from the fraud aspects of any offers. If you lie, cheat, or steal, you're done.
Right.
You know, you still can get sued. The famous 10b-5 in Minnesota, they've got a mini 10b-5 statute which makes you liable. The basic rule under the securities law to make full disclosure of all the material facts that are necessary, and that can be subject to interpretation, and that's why you should really talk to a lawyer when you're dealing with it.
Yeah, you know, the full disclosure is really a key aspect here. So if you've got somebody listening that's working on a real estate project and you're putting together a company, and then you're doing the project management or you're doing the development, you've got a separate contract and a fee for that and a fee for this. The name of the game is disclose everything. You know, you disclose everything up front. You disclose all the risks. So it could be general risks about the market, risks about the project. And so that if something happens, I mean, we've seen in the last several years, not every real estate project ends up being successful, right? So
what?
So there has been a lot of litigation involving some, you know, people that invested in these projects, and now their money's gone.
Right. When people lose money, then the lawsuits happen.
Exactly.
If you don't have the disclosures in place.
Exactly. So the name of the game is, if you disclose everything up front, if you disclose the risks, and then if you want to focus on certain types of investors that are a little bit more sophisticated than others, that's kind of the best policy. Then you're in the best position to avoid trying to minimize those risks of litigation or a fraud claim later on.
And of course, one of the risks that you one of the items that you look at to try to determine whether or not you want to make an investment is how good are the people that are involved. And so you want
to
give a good background on the people as well, and what they've done and what their education is.
Right. Mm-hmm. So experience. Now people coming in and saying, hey, yeah, you should invest in me, and I'm this great guy. If I'm not seeing the disclosures and all the, I mean, really should do. I mean, oh, yeah. Nowadays, you've got the internet. You can Google someone pretty darn quick.
Well, you know, the other thing that I've relied on in some of these investment opportunities, you know, we've looked at conversions of taking, you know, like a senior housing or a hotel and converting it to a rental project or, you know, some kind of group homes. And you look at the numbers. I think one of the things, I'm not obviously the legal side of it, I'm more of the street smarts, and I look at it and say, okay, did the numbers add up? You know, and like you guys just made a fantastic point, is do you trust your partners? Because that is everything. Googling, doing the research, and do their numbers add up? I mean, because common sense is a big part of this.
That's a good point. I mean, the numbers have to work for a couple of different aspects. Number one, and it's always good to have a CPA or, you know, audit those, you know, whatever financial projections you've put together and tie out your assumptions and make sure that it all works for two reasons. Number one, because they have to work from a compliance standpoint, from a disclosure standpoint, from an anti-fraud standpoint. The second piece is you're sitting in a room with investors. I mean, this is the practical aspect of it. You're trying to get people to write a check to you for your project. You better know how to explain how you get to whatever assumption and what happens if you change the assumption, what happens to the projection.
Well, absolutely. That's the biggest thing I've seen, is where we'll be sitting there and they, okay, it's $250,000 for a fractional ownership, and then you own 30% of the end finished product. And it doesn't make sense. You're going, this is a multi-million dollar project, and it smells funny on the front end. It usually is.
Now, let me make two points. One is that what we usually try to tell people to deal with is accredited investors. And those are basically millionaires, excluding their house in net worth. There's also an annual income standard as well. But the other issue that's involved is that even if you can't do this, you can't just advertise generally to get people to invest. This is a one-on-one type of relationship. There's new legislation called crowd funding or something that's now before the federal legislature, the federal Congress, to try to take and make it easier to raise money, but that has not been passed. And another thing that we try to tell our clients is that it doesn't make any difference if you have significantly, you know, investors that are accredited investors, if they don't think like you do, if they don't know how to take a risk. Don't bring them into your deal.
All right. On that note, we are going to take a bit of a break here, but you'll be right back with more of the show. If you do have a real estate question, 651-989-9226, or you can text us at 81807. Back with more here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Radio Hour, around on CCO every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. Always welcome your real estate questions, are either by text or by phone. Our number is 651-989-9226, or you can send us a text at 81807. And we're looking at this one text, and maybe do you want to read this one?
I think this
applies to no one in the room, by the way.
No, it can't be.
But why don't you go ahead?
I think it applies our whole industry.
You think?
No.
Let's let our listeners in on this.
I have my eye on a home that's for sale. I dislike the realtor on the listing, as he's known to be a drinker. Can I politely buy that home without that realtor, and how do I do it? Well, first of all, I mean, the quick answer is you can certainly have your own representation, and you'd probably never even have to ever deal with that realtor.
That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah.
Well, you'll never speak with that individual directly.
But, I mean, but if this person has this is the listing agent?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he or she would have to what? Say, fire this agent?
I'd interview a few agents, and I'd get an actual real estate agent that would represent you as a buyer. You don't have to enter into a dual agency, because they're referencing there is where they'd call off the sign, and then the agent that lists or has the listing would represent both sides, which is considered dual agency, which is a funny area anyway. But I'd recommend getting representation and heading in there with that approach.
If this person has it listed, they have a contract with the sellers, and it's not like
you can't get
someone that's buying.
Right.
So,
all right. You want to read another one?
Yeah, absolutely. We brought Mark Myron in with Bremer Bank, FDIC Insured Bank. And here's a great question for you, Mark. I have three townhomes that I rent, but would like to refinance them. What options are there? I'm underwater on two of them and have 20% equity in the other. They've been consistently rented for the last 5 years.
Well, there certainly are some products available. There's a few things that you have to look at. The industry norm is you have to have at least a 20% equity position on a non-owner-occupied property. But there are some other programs. The HARP program that was done through through Congress, it made available, really is another option. What I tell my customers if you've got a property that you might be underwater in is check on three things. First thing, Google, does Fannie Mae own my home? And if yes, then stop there and then contact your mortgage lender and determine if you ever have had mortgage insurance on that property or if you're currently paying mortgage insurance. And then if Fannie Mae does not own that property, then you can also say, Google, does Freddie Mac own my property? So if one of those come back, then there are some other options available if you are underwater or you don't quite have that 80% loan to value on that property.
So let me ask you this. So if I go Google that, hey, Fannie Mae owns my property. So what they do is they got to call Fannie Mae, or can they call a local lender like yourself?
Yeah, Fannie Mae is not going to be able to do anything for you. So they definitely need to call your mortgage lender, your servicer, or a local lender. I would definitely recommend they're working a little quicker than some of the national firms.
So you were saying those were two. There was a third one?
The third option would just be make sure to call your current lien holder, your current servicer, I should say, to determine if you have mortgage insurance at this time.
Okay.
651-989-9226. Somebody wants to get on the action here. Gail is calling from Lauderdale. Go ahead, Gail. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Maybe you can't answer this, but I'm living in a home. My daughter owns this home and her own. And I have life estate in one of the properties. And I'm trying to get a home improvement loan through Greater Minnesota Housing. And it's kind of like iffy. If it's not owned and occupied by the person, you really almost can't get a home improvement. And I was wondering if you know, if I, in life estate, and I'm living here, who would I consult?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark. Why don't you jump on that one?
And what was the name of the nonprofit you were working with?
Greater Metropolitan Housing. You know, for a home loan.
And I know those folks over there. They're great. They know what needs to be met and how to get financing put together for some kind of a project like that. I can't speak exactly to what their requirements are, but I'm pretty confident that you definitely need to be the owner of the property to put any financing onto that property, because it actually will be a mortgage against your home to do those improvements. So you certainly can't mortgage a property that you don't have any ownership interest in.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you talk about a life estate, what is that? What's the definition of a life estate?
Well, life estate is what you get after. Life estate is for your life. So essentially, if you have a life estate, it terminates on your death. And that's your interest in the property itself. So from a lender's point of view, you know, I'm not sure what they would do, whether they look at life expectancies, but the question becomes whether or not on termination of your life estate does the mortgage itself terminate.
Right. So now, with a life estate, though, I mean, why would somebody do that?
Life estates sometimes are used, and remainder interest is some forms of kind of DIY estate planning. There's a lot of, I always refer to it as estate planning by deed. That's never a substitute for talking with an attorney to get a proper estate plan. Bob and I both do some estate planning. Bob does more than I do. But there's never a substitute for talking to one of us about doing it the right way.
Basically, you're settling things before you have to. But if I'm given my parents and they give me the house and then I give them back a life estate, I can't go and take that away from them.
No. There's an attempt. People are doing estate planning. They're thinking only how to avoid probate, so they do different techniques to try to get the house to pass outside of probate, and it can create a lot of messes and headaches in the interim.
Yeah. Is there a certain time period? So let's just say that we did that with my mom and dad. And I don't know. We're kind of going way off on something. But is there a certain time period that it has to be in mind to avoid that? You know what I mean? So if it was given to me or I gave it back to my parents, I gave them a life estate. I don't even know how you say it.
What normally happens is that they would grant you a life estate grant you a the title to it, but reserve a life estate for themselves. That's what would happen.
All right. You know what? We're going to take a break. But we always welcome your phone calls related to real estate, of course, or your text messages, 651-989-9226. Or you can text us at 81807. We'll be back after this break with more of the Real Estate Radio Hour here on 830 WCCO, 53 degrees in the Twin Cities. And we're back with this portion of the Real Estate Radio Hour. As I said, around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour, we always welcome your phone calls and text messages. And, you know, guys, I should mention, too, that if somebody wants maybe a little more detailed question answered, maybe a little more personal, whatever the case may be, you could really do it two ways. You can get on the web, realestateradiohour.com. Ask a question type button there. I mean, you've got all sorts of things. I would just urge you to check it out anyway because it's a great website. But there is a hotline number made up specifically for our CCO listeners. That's 612-750-3246. Again, 612-750-3246. In the meantime, let's get to our studio lines here. Let's see if we've got some folks. Jerry is calling from St. Anthony. Jerry, you're on CCO. Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So I had a question. In a situation, my parents have deeded their house to the six children and just found out that one of the children has a judgment against them. And my question is if when it comes time to sell the house, is that sibling or that child responsible for that judgment personally, or can that come back and affect the other people that have portions of the house?
It's a perfect day. We got the right people in the house to answer it.
Well, if it was, the question is, how did you take title to the house? If it's your sibling has an undivided 1/6 interest, is that what?
Yes.
Yes. Then it would be only that sibling's share of the house that would be subject to a judgment, not the rest.
Okay. So that judgment isn't tied to the house. It's just tied to the individual.
Well, it is tied to the individual, to your sibling's interest in the house.
Okay.
So what we're saying is that if that judgment was $10,000, the house was worth $60,000, that sibling wouldn't get their $10,000. That would have to go to the judgment.
Okay.
But everyone else would get their tens.
Gotcha. So it would be split to six ways first, and then he would be responsible.
Take their portion out of it. Yep.
Perfect. That's what I needed to know.
All right. Appreciate the call. And just for future reference, 651-989-9226 is our studio line. Yvonne is calling from Apple Valley. Thank you. You're on CCO, Yvonne.
Yes. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks. I have a question. I think this is still in place, hopefully. I have a transfer on death in my townhouse. I only have one son. And my attorney, you know, because I wanted something other than an expensive trust or to go through probate. And so we did this transfer on death, which was really inexpensive. And do I need to know anything more about this?
Transfer on death deed was something that Minnesota law enacted, what, 2-3 years ago, I think, for this exact purpose. It's you sign a deed during your lifetime that transfers entitled to the property upon your death. It's an estate planning. It's another estate planning tool. Some attorneys use them, some don't. But it's just one of the arrows in the quiver when we talk about different types of estate planning options.
And if you take and compare that to the life estate that we were just talking about, this is revocable, so that you can change your mind on a transfer on death deed.
Interesting.
651-989-9226. We still have time for your real estate related questions. Or again, you may text us at 81807.
Guys. You know, I wanted to make sure I got in with Mark too, how that whole HARP program is coming, because I know that's out and about.
Well, when you say it's out and about, it one foot's out. The program is out there. However, majority of banks nationwide, mortgage companies, I'll say, or banks, do sell these products on the secondary market. And a lot of these larger investors that purchase these end products, they haven't really rolled out their complete rules yet. So there are some information out there, but it's not completely ready to go.
So these programs still, even though they're government-based, they still have their own personal overlays that they put into place to qualify? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly. So there are some products available out there right now that are ready to go, but there are some expansive options that may be available in the short term, in the next, you know, 30 to 90 days, that will really lay out the program in its entirety nationwide.
Right, and that when we say HARP, it's a refinance program for you guys that are upside down. So that's what layman's terms,
right?
Guys like me.
Yeah, you know something I was thinking too, Denny. You had mentioned you know how to get a hold of us mm-hmm. on our through our website and through our hotline. Jeff O'Brien has been with us. I mean, in their fourth year,
mm-hmm.
And he's our guy that's answering those questions, our legal questions that come to us. But I'm just going to say, you know, with Lohman and Abdo, it's a new firm that you're with. Just tell us quickly a little bit about it. We got a couple minute here or so.
Well, the firm has been around for 70 years. We have offices here, not only downtown Minneapolis in the IDS Center, but we also have an office in Hudson, Wisconsin. So for those listeners that are in western Wisconsin, we have attorneys there, and we also have an office in New York. You know, we have our practices are, you know, the corporate law, real estate, like we're talking about today, estate planning, litigation, intellectual property. We're known for having a large entertainment law practice, some sports law. It's really a variety of different transactional matters and a lot of litigation stuff that we work with. We handle appeals, you know, as well to, you know, the Court of Appeals or Supreme Court, things like that. So, you know, there's 42 attorneys. We've been around a long time. You know, Bob and I, we had today talk about securities. We ended up talking a little judgments and a little estate planning. You know,
well, yeah,
so
you know,
versatile.
What's neat is that it's basically just an extension of our show. You know, like Mark Myron,
absolutely.
If you got some questions on that HARP program, I mean, we can get those to you. Same thing with Jeff. So
very good.
Good show, guys.
We'll still have more time to cool here, so don't go away. More of the Real Estate Radio Hour back in a moment here on 830 WCCO. And we're back with the remaining moments of our Real Estate Radio Hour, and let's throw it back to Andy and Chris.
Yeah, hey, Mark Myron here with Bremer. Wanted to ask you a quick question here about the beginning of the show. We were talking about investors and buying not only commercial property in the middle of the show, but at the beginning we were talking residential a little bit. And tell us about some investor, like how many, what kind of down payments do we have? What, you know, if we're interested in becoming an investor, what do we need to know?
Well, the typical industry standard is about 20% down is what's required to buy a single-family residence, up to 10 properties to get some traditional mortgage financing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some products available that actually allow for 10% down.
Nice.
Which is great. So, you know, your realtor, if you call in the hotline here, we can set you up with a great realtor that would know all about those properties that qualify for that.
Good job. Thank you.
Yeah. And why don't you guys give us was there anything else about Lohman and Abdo that...
Just you can find us on the web at www.lohman.com.
It's under lohman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of our contributors on air are with us on our website at realestateradiohour.com. Now, next week, again, I'm going to be gone. So Andy's going to be here alone, but...
Flying solo.
Yeah, exactly. But
we've got some great guests coming in.
Yeah, I'll call in, and I know PJ Harris with Prime Mortgage is also going to be in.
Okay, good.
So
you're going to Arizona with your boy again?
Yeah, actually, the whole family's going down there.
Oh, good.
So, you know, my mom and dad are down there. So.
Well, that's right. We'll say hello.
I will.
All right. Very good. And we'll be back here again. I urge you to get on the website. It's a great website, realestateradiohour.com. But if you do have a pressing question, they will always return your calls. Here again is the hotline number, 612-750-3246. 612-750-3246. Back again next week?
Absolutely.
With more right here on 830 WCCO.